Three, two, one. Here we go. Broadcasting to the four corners of the conservative universe, it's the Matt Locke Show. He loves all things conservative politics, and if there's a microphone nearby, you can bet he'll be the one beating the left over the head with it. And now, a true original, the common sense conservative, here's your host, Matt Locke.
Oh yeah, that's right, beating the left over the head with the truth daily. It is the hump day edition of the Matt Locke Show. Let me get my volumes correct here as we're heading down. For some reason, I did an interview, so it always plays with my board. So let's get it back to where it needs to get. In the bottom of the hour, I've got Barb Allen coming up from American Snippets. And of course, Great American Summit that's coming up in January that you've heard me talk about. Federal judge blocks Joey Puddin' Pop's vaccine mandate for healthcare workers nationwide. We're going to talk about that today. Unfortunately, got bad news in Oxford Township, Michigan. A student kills three, wounds six in a school shooting. We're going to talk about that today. That's sad. Twitter bans sharing photos, videos without consent on CEO Parag Agrawal's first day. Joey Puddin' Pop heads to Minnesota not to talk to the families that went through that Christmas parade massacre with the black man. He's going there to push infrastructure, of all things. And the Ghislaine Maxwell trial is currently ongoing, and they put Jeffrey Epstein's pilot on the stand, and some crazy stuff came out of that. So we're going to talk about that this hour. Welcome to the program. Go find me at Real Matt Locke on all of my social media platforms other than Telegram, the Matt Locke Show, and Gab TV. I'll tell you, I just talked about an article yesterday that had to do with 10 states where a judge said, no, Joey Puddin' Pops. You can't constitutionally mandate healthcare workers getting the vaccine. It's not constitutional. You didn't run it through the government. You didn't run it through Congress to tell OSHA, no. Well, a federal judge in Louisiana joins the fun today, issuing a nationwide preliminary injunction against President Puddin' Pop's vaccine mandate for healthcare workers. Judge Terry Doughty, D-O-U-G-H-T-I, Doughty, in the U.S. District Court, Western District of Louisiana, ruled in favor of a request for Republican Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry to block an emergency regulation issued November 4 by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services that required vaccines for nearly every full-time employee, part-time employee, volunteer, and contract worker at a wide range of healthcare facilities receiving Medicaid and Medicare funding. Louisiana was joined in the lawsuit by attorney generals in 13 other states. Okay. 13 other states. Crazy, right? Crazy, crazy, crazy what is actually happening today. But, you know, I say this and I mean it, and let's make sure that's not running because it just dropped for some reason. Sometimes it's nice to get some wins, right? I mean, sometimes it's nice to say, you know, maybe law and order is on our side. Quote, if the executive branch is allowed to usurp, that's a great word, usurp. For those of you in Flint, it means take, to suck off, to use the power not given to them. So if the executive branch is able to usurp the power of the legislative branch to make laws, two of the three powers conferred by our Constitution would be in the same hands. This judge is smart, by the way. If human nature and history teach us anything, It is that civil liberties face grave risk when governments proclaim indefinite state of emergencies. Oh my goodness, I might shed a tear here. I mean, this is exactly what's happening. The left continues to create emergencies to usurp your power, your rights, your freedom, your liberty. It's illegal. It's unconstitutional. It's not what the founding fathers had in mind when they wrote the Constitution of this great United States of America. And finally, a judge has come out saying, no. If history will teach us anything, Chad Prather came out with a deal. I shared it on Facebook, and it was profound. And Chad does that kind of stuff every now and then. I want to read it to you because it pertains to history. And I find it interesting that we have gotten so far off of the path of where we should be and what we're understanding and what we're trying to rewrite and the things that we want to do and all of that such that we're losing sight of what actual things are going on here. And I'm going to find it. I'm almost there, I swear to you, as we're, come on, there we go. Almost there. Here it is. So he put up a meme, and we're going to talk about memes later in the show. History doesn't exist for you to like or dislike. You don't have to like history. You don't have to dislike history. It doesn't exist for you to put a like or a dislike on it, right? That's social media. If you ever watched The Social Dilemma, Facebook created the like button, okay? And it's like a drug. You want those likes, right? You're paying attention to your phone because you want someone to like what you have to say. You want someone to like your life. You want someone to like your picture or your saying or your funny. History doesn't exist for you to like or dislike it. History exists so you can learn from it. History. If you don't know history, you're bound to repeat it. See, these are the things that we should be paying attention to. And now this judge gets it. If human nature and history teach us anything, and that's what history is there for, to teach us, to learn. It is that civil liberties face grave risk when governments proclaim indefinite states of emergency. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to usurp power by creating indefinite emergencies based on fear tactics and pandemic porn to keep you locked up. And boy, the left is going to be howling at this one. They don't have enough to worry about. Chris Cuomo got indefinitely suspended yesterday on CNN because he's helping out Governor Nipple Rings over there, and they found out about it. He was using his position as a journalist, and I'm using air quotes for those of you listening on the podcast, because he's not a journalist, not even a news person. He's a knucklehead. Anybody, you know, you want to hear the funny thing about being on TV? I was on America's Voice. You want me to tell you some behind the scenes stuff? It's Wednesday, but we'll make it story time. So when I was on TV, when I was on America's Voice News, they were dumbfounded. They were absolutely dumbfounded at what I could do. And they're like, I'm like, what are you talking about? They wanted to script the entire show where I would sit here, look at the camera, because see, when I do the podcast, I'm not always looking at the camera. I'm looking at my notes here, my articles. I've got stuff written in the margins. I've got things I want to talk about and all that stuff, right? So when I'm sitting here doing the radio show, I'm looking, I'm reading, I'm watching audition, I'm watching the video, I'm running all the stuff because I'm producing it, the sound, the board, all that stuff. I have to do this, right? And then I'm gonna play this video later. So I got to take off the mix minus so that you can hear it through the board that will go over into the audio. I mean, there's a lot going on, right? So I've taught myself how to do all this. I mean, I am a high-tech redneck. I literally taught myself how to do all this, right? With the help of Ron Phillips for a few things. God bless that man. But, you know, the thing was, I went on TV, and they're like, oh, we got to script you. I'm like, oh, you can't script me. There's no way you can script Matt Locke. I need Angry Matt, and I it's an orchestra. I mean, I orchestrate. I compose this orchestra in my head. And there's ebbs and flows. When I listen to someone on a podcast who never change the rhythm of how they speak, who are monotone, you know, nobody wants to listen to that. Sometimes you gotta get loud. Sometimes you gotta get quiet. I mean, there's tools of the trade to use for this, right? So to script me would be ridiculous, but you're just a robot. You're just reading the news. That's Chris Cuomo. He's a robot. Those aren't his words. When I was on TV, all of the anchors, they're scripted. It's not even their own words. They sit there and they read a teleprompter the whole time reading you the news. They're good at reading. That's what, and they might be pretty people. Chris Cuomo is a good looking man, I guess. But you know, they were dumbfounded. Tudor Dixon and I did the America's Voice Live. We were never scripted. We did 2 hours of television a day just off of each other. You want to know how hard that is? You want to know how difficult that is to get two people to mesh together and to be able to deliver you an amazing product like Tudor and I did? Then they fired me. I could tell you why, but it doesn't really matter. And I'm not cut out for TV. I got a face for radio. I do the video. It's over on Gab TV. It's over at Red Voice Media. I mean, it's up there, right? But I'm a radio guy. I'm a theater of the mind guy. I mean, that's what I do. I'm good at radio. I'm good at talking to you. I'm good at doing this stuff. But you have no idea how hard it was. And that's why I'm telling you, Tudor Dixon is the Matlock. She's the female version of Matlock. Brilliantly smart. If she becomes governor of Michigan, she'll turn that state right around. One of the smartest women I know. And one of the most talented when it comes to information and how to speak and how to clearly get her message across. So Chris Cuomo, I mean, he's using his position as a journalist, once again, air quotes, to help his brother Nipple Rings, Governor Nipple Rings, and now they're both in trouble. And of course, CNN should fire him. He's suspended, but Jeffrey Toobin was, you know, spanking the monkey on a Zoom call, and he didn't get fired. I mean, he's masturbating in front of everybody on Zoom, and hell, if that doesn't get you fired, helping your brother, probably not so much. But I want to get back to this because it really, this is good. And the left are going to have, they're going to have kittens about all of this because they hate it. They hate the fact that law and order stands up. They hate the fact that conservatives are the party of law and order. We are. You know, I talked to Barb Allen later in the program. It's a pre-recorded interview. And we talk about freedom and liberty. We talk about being patriots. We talk about being good citizens of America and your rights and your God-given freedoms and liberties. And the left doesn't like that. And neither does Chris Cuomo or any of those knuckleheads over at CNN. I could do all their jobs with my damn arm tied behind my back, and you'd actually like it better. Just saying. Quote, during a pandemic, such as this one, it is even more important to safeguard the separation of power set forth in our Constitution to avoid erosion of our liberties. God bless America, right? God bless America. This is exactly what we should be doing with our liberties. This is exactly what this should look like. There should be safeguards against the separation of power set forth in the Constitution. This is two judges in a row that get it, that get the Constitution is what makes America great. Noting the case will ultimately be decided by a higher court than this one, Doty wrote. However, it is important to preserve the status quo. In this case, the liberty interest of the unvaccinated requires nothing less. Now, A.G. Landry praised the ruling, saying in a statement, I applaud Judge Doty for recognizing that Louisiana is likely to succeed on the merits and for delivering yet another victory for the medical freedom of Americans. While Joe Biden Puddin' Pop villainizes our healthcare heroes with his jabber job edicts, I will continue to stand up to the president's bully tactics and fight for liberty. While our fight is far from over, I'm pleased the court granted preliminary relief against the president's unconstitutional, constitutional, and immoral attacks on not only our healthcare workers, but also the access to healthcare services for our poor and elderly, Landry continued. I will see this case through to the end, fighting every step of the way to prevent the federal government from imposing medical tyranny on our citizens and turning last year's healthcare heroes into this year's unemployed. Now, this is the second ruling that I talked about. Yesterday, Judge Matthew Schlepp issued a 32-page order blocking the Pud and Pop administration from enforcing their vaccine mandate on healthcare workers in 10 states. This blocks Pud and Pop's vaccine mandate for healthcare workers nationwide. Now, let's expound on that, and let's just block it for everybody nationwide. All right, do me a great big favor here. Head over to scarsandstripescoffee.com. Scarsandstripescoffee.com. Great coffee, by the way. Official coffee of the Matlock Show. My wife jumped on there last night and ordered from Tim. I can't say that. So I got to be quiet because my father-in-law might be listening. So I got to keep the cat in the bag. Scarsandstripescoffee.com. Scarsandstripescoffee.com. Overflowed with freedom. Because it is. I mean, it's great coffee. I've had it. It's wonderful. I drink it. It's amazing. I like the downrange, which is the dark roast. I like my coffee black. I do. See, I'm not racist at all. I like my coffee black. You can like your coffee too. Head over to scarsandstripescoffee.com. Scarsandstripescoffee.com. If you're a veteran, by the way, you're looking for a side hustle. You're looking for something to do. You want to be part of a group again. You can get over there. You can sign up. You can sell coffee too, just like Tim did. Thank you, Tim, by the way. You can do that too. They empower veterans. It's an amazing coffee. It's an amazing company with amazing people. And I'm going to have Justin on next week. He's one of the guys. He's a former veteran selling Scars and Stripes coffee. We're going to talk about, he found Scars and Stripes coffee through me. I'm building an empire of Scars and Stripes coffee. Go find it. If you're a veteran, go check them out. Scarsandstripescoffee.com. Official coffee of the Matlock Show. Sad to report today that yesterday in Oxford Township, a 15-year-old sophomore opened fire at his Michigan high school, killing three students and wounding six other people, including a teacher, authorities said. Oakland County Undersheriff Mike McCabe said at a news conference that he didn't know what the assailant's motives were for the attack at Oxford High School in Oxford Township, a community of about 22,000 people, roughly 30 miles north of Detroit. Officers responded at around 12:55 p.m. yesterday to a flood of 911 calls about an active shooter at the school. Authorities arrested the suspect at the school and recovered a semi-automatic handgun and several magazines, not clips. I don't know who wrote this story for Breitbart, but they're... Oh, it's from the Associated Press, not even Breitbart. Breitbart just picked up the AP story. No wonder. They're magazines. They're not clips. So they found a semi-automatic handgun. Wasn't an AR-15, kids. It wasn't an assault rifle that the left loves to talk about and have kittens over and everything else. And while it's tragic, by the way, I never want to politicize a story. Evil will do what evil does. And it's sad to me. And prayers go out to the families of the children who were killed by this heinous act. Evil exists in this world. It's unfortunate, but it's true. Evil exists, and it doesn't matter if it's a handgun. It doesn't matter if it's an SUV in Waukesha, Wisconsin, which we've got that story in the stack here a little bit later. It doesn't matter. Evil's going to do what evil does. And you know, that's why you have to have guns. If teachers are armed, they can protect their students better. These kids have, I'm going to tell you right now, these kids just don't have any respect for life. They don't have any respect for life. These poor children are being indoctrinated in our schooling systems, and they just literally grow up not having any respect for life. The school was placed on lockdown after the attack, with some children sheltering in locked classrooms while officers searched the premises. They were later taken to a nearby Meijer grocery store to be picked up by their parents. Isabel Flores told WJBK-TV that she and other students heard gunshots, saw another student bleeding from his face. They then ran from the area through the rear of the school, said Flores, a 15-year-old ninth grader. McCabe said investigators would be looking through social media posts for any evidence of a possible motive. They're not going to release this guy's name. I wouldn't say it anyway, but he's 15. He's a minor, so you're not going to get the name. We'll find out. We don't know what ethnicity. Doesn't matter. We just know it's a young man, and that's all we do know. Robin Redding said her son, Treshen Bryant, 12th grader at the school, but stayed home on Tuesday. She said he had heard threats of a shooting at the school, so maybe this is premeditated. She said this just couldn't be random. Redding didn't provide specifics about what her son had heard, but she expressed concern with school safety in general. Kids just like, they're just mad at each other at this school. And there are schools like that, by the way. There are schools everywhere like that. I think it's the environment that these poor kids are putting up with. I think it's crazy. And you watch, violence seems to be more and more prevalent. More often than not. It really is sad. Like I said, our thoughts and our prayers go out to the family that lost loved ones in that shooting. I mean, lift them up in your prayers, please. It's a hard time. This is one of those deals where nobody wins. It's not a great thing. It breaks my heart, and here we are. I mean, I don't want to see anybody killed, but if it wasn't a gun, it'd be a knife. If it wasn't a knife, it'd be a bat. If it wasn't a bat, it'd be a crowbar. If it wasn't a crowbar, it'd be something else. I mean, evil's going to do what evil does, and unfortunately, that's exactly what happens. I'll tell you what, if you want to practice here, If you want to work on your self-defense, you want to practice your shooting in the privacy of your home, you don't want to, you know, go to the range, you don't want to, you know, waste your practice ammunition, head over to iTarget Pro. iTarget Pro has an amazing system. It's got a sled, it's got a target, it's got the laser bullet that goes into a 9, 40, 45, 223, goes a lot of different sizes, bullets to, you know, sight in your rifles. Sight in your handgun. You can dry fire practice in the privacy of your own home. You can work on your accuracy at any time. You can head over to itargetpro.com. What a great Christmas present that would be, right? What a great Christmas present that would make. itargetpro.com. Use the discount code MATT, M-A-T-T. Get 10% off that item today. Head over to itargetpro.com. itargetpro.com. Great sponsor of the Matt Locke Show. Use my name, Matt, M-A-T-T. Get 10% off. That's $100. Gift for $90. Christmas is coming. Head over to itargetpro.com. That'd be a fantastic gift to give someone, wouldn't it? It would be a fantastic gift to give someone. Head over to itargetpro.com. All right. So, Twitter, we found out yesterday, Jack Dorsey stepped down as the Twitter CEO. He was the co-founder. He's probably got plenty of money. I've been hearing some crazy rumors about a hostile takeover at Twitter. Can't verify that. Dorsey did step down. They stopped trading on the NASDAQ yesterday, and then the Twitter stock today tanked. Good for that. But first day on the job, this new CEO, Parag Agrawal's first day, Twitter bans sharing photos and videos without consent. Now, you know where this is going, kids. You know, the best memes are made from videos and pictures that float around the internet, like the little girl watching the house on fire that everybody made into a meme and went viral. Well, you can't use that picture anymore. You couldn't put the picture up of the black guy, the asshole, in Waukesha who killed 6 people with his SUV. He drove it through a parade. The SUV didn't drive itself, like the CNN knuckleheads want you to think. The journalist, air quotes, over at CNN wants you to think the car drove itself. You can't put his picture up anymore. Just one day after Jack Dorsey was replaced as the CEO of Twitter by company's former chief technology officer, Parag Agrawal, the platform has banned the sharing of any images or videos of people without their consent. The far-left company stated, the misuse of private media can affect everyone, but can have a disproportionate effect on women, activists, dissidents, and members of minority communities. Now, do you think this is going to go both ways? I mean, this is the first question that pops into my mind, right? Do you think that liberals are going to get hit with this same rule? Because liberals, by the way, are terrible at making memes. I mean, they're awful. You ever see these? They're too wordy. They're ridiculous. I mean, they're awful. You know, this is actually to shut you and I down. It's to shut down the conservative voice once again. It's all directed at you and I. That's why you need to go over and get her at Real Matt Locke. You need to go find me at Telegram, The Matt Locke Show. And you need to go find me at Gab, The Matt Locke Show. Because this bullshit that's going on at Twitter, we ain't going to be there much longer, kids. But this is to shut our voices down. You know, conservatives make memes. What was it? Carpe Donctum got banned off Twitter because he was the meme king. And this is what's going to happen. They're literally, what they're doing, they're banning the sharing of these photos and videos without consent because they believe, quote, the misuse of private media can affect everyone. The misuse? It's a freaking picture. It's, well, you know, that's the thing. Remember the chick in the glasses with the beanie howling at the moon when Hillary didn't become president? And they made a meme out of that. It was amazing. I can't do that. It went viral. Got people fired up, got people ready to go on the conservative side. Well, now the misuse of private media can affect, they can affect everyone, but can have a disproportionate effect on women, activists, dissidents, and members of minority communities. That chick was white. I mean, this is just rubbish. The company added that it would try to assess the context in which the content is shared. And in such cases, they may allow the images or videos to remain on the service. Twitter previously banned the sharing of certain types of private information without permission, such as a person's home address. That should be banned. Identity documents, such as government-issued IDs. That should be banned. Social security numbers should be banned. Or financial account information. All should not be on Twitter. But now it is added to this banned list. Media of private individuals without the permission of that person. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's time to get rid of the 230 protections that the left enjoys. It's time to get rid of this crap. We're at the point now. I mean, they're just going to, that's the thing. Media of private individuals without the permission of the person depicted. So now what they're going to do is sue. You know, you can talk. I mean, this is not a platform anymore. This is no longer a platform of free speech. Who cares if you made a meme? Who cares if they use my picture? I'd kind of hope they would. Maybe it'd make me famous. Hell, I don't know. I mean, this is garbage. But once again, this will only benefit the left. Twitter ended its statement by saying, feeling safe on Twitter is different for everyone. I've never felt unsafe on Twitter, have you? And our teams are constantly working to understand and address these needs. We know our work will never be done. And we will continue to invest in making our product and policies more robust and transparent to continue to earn the trust of the people using our service. No, you won't. You'll continue to put your boot on the throat of conservatives because you can. And no one will stop you. That's what this is for. The move comes just one day after Jack Dorsey stepped down as the CEO of the company and was replaced by Parag Agrawal. Dorsey stated at the time, I've decided to leave Twitter because I believe the company is ready to move on from its founders. Huh. It appears the company is ready to move on in an even more heavy-handed speech limiting and censorship-focused direction. Boy, isn't that fun? I mean, isn't this fun? I mean, I've had this conversation so many damn times. It just drives me absolutely crazy. This gate only swings one way, and it's to harm conservatives. It's all it is. It's to harm conservatives, and that's the bare minimum of it all. It's just unbelievable to watch it. And they disguise it. Oh, well, we want to protect your safety and your privacy. I mean, have you seen what takes place on Twitter? It's a fucking free-for-all. And I like it, by the way. I mean, I love Twitter for the fact it was short, simple, and snarky. Remember the three S's? It was just short, simple, and snarky. And you could go on there and make your point. You didn't write a damn book like you do on Facebook. I thought I'd grow on Twitter. I had over 100,000 followers at one time. Then the great purge came. I remember the whole urinal, standing at the urinal story with Dan Bongino. Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it, by the way. He sidled up to me at a urinal. Can you believe that? I'll tell that story after the interview here. I've got a great interview for you. It's pre-recorded. Barb Allen. She she's the co-creator of American Snippets. She is a gold star wife, lost her husband. She's going to tell us her story here. Take a listen to the interview I had with her today. All right, I want to welcome into the program. I've got a special guest here. Her name is Barb Allen. She's the head writer, commentator, and co-founder of American Snippets. Barb is a gold star wife, losing her husband in Iraq. Barb, you've got a lot of things happening in your world today. Thanks for being on the program.
I do indeed have a lot going on. I really appreciate you giving us this opportunity to talk about them.
You know, I am a sucker when it comes for patriotic people. I love this country probably as much as you do. And anytime I hear these great things about what's going on, of course, I'm in to help all I can. So Barb, who is Barb Allen and what is American Snippets?
American Snippets is a product of who I am and who my fiance is, I guess. I got sent down this trajectory in 2005 when my husband Lou was killed in Iraq. He was actually murdered by another soldier who was doing bad things in the supply department. And there was a 3.5-year court-martial process. Suddenly I'm going to Kuwait, I'm going to Fort Bragg and back and forth while trying to raise my four kids who were 6, 5, 3, and 1. So I had a lot of bad years that got a little worse when the military acquitted the soldier in spite of him submitting a guilty plea. So if that doesn't, I mean, that's a whole other story, right? Very complex, but that's what sent me down this path, right? So I'm, as a result, I'm just somebody who has gone through a lot of very, very difficult, challenging things and didn't handle them so well to start. And so I went through a lot of extra bad years that I probably didn't have to. And then as soon as I figured out that it was time to get my life back together and rebuild, and I started to get my feet back under me and look around, I wiped the fog out. And that's when I realized that while I was putting myself back together, our country was falling apart. It was like everything that my husband had died in service of was being dismantled by the very people he died in service of. And it literally just broke my heart all over again and started pulling me into this depression that people were so readily giving up all the things that make this country great and beautiful. And instead of acknowledging that it's flawed, but they love it anyway and working to solve the problems and become better as one, it was like things were weaponized against us and our patriotism was being weaponized and we were told the American dream is dead and we were called all sorts of terrible things if you believed otherwise. And I knew I had to do something to preserve that. Yeah.
And God bless you. I mean, we do our greatest learning. I talk about this all the time on my show. We do our greatest learning through failure, through falling down and picking ourselves back up and saying, you know, I don't want to do that, but you're right. America has really fallen apart. So tell us what American Snippets does. How did you get led to that? I mean, you've told us a little backstory here, but what do you do with American Snippets?
American Snippets was just what we started. You ever start something that where you really have no clue what you're actually doing? You're just like, this feels right,
every
and
day.
I'm going to do it and see where it takes me.
Every day.
Right. So, and some of those things turn into good things and you like to do them, but some of them are a little painful. But we just knew we felt a pull to prove that what was being spouted in the media and what people in other countries were thinking of us was false. We just felt pulled to prove that Americans at our core are really extraordinary people who have a lot of overlapping interests. And at the end of the day, we all want the same thing, which is peace and prosperity for ourselves and our families and the people we love, right? That's what drives us all. But we were being divided and not allowed to work together and see that. And so it's a place to prove that patriotism is not just wanting the people who like you and agree with you to do well. It's about wanting everybody to do well and, you know, and rise and to support one another. And so that was our platform. We started featuring people from around the country who are doing extraordinary things with their lives and exemplify the American dream and connecting our audience and our community with those people and with their resources so that they could take those tools and apply them to their own life.
So, and that is fantastic, by the way, because, you know, I always talk about, you know, we can sit here and we can talk about all this stuff all day long, But if there's no action behind the words, is it just whining, right? Are you just getting on a microphone and kind of airing your grievances and telling people why you're mad? But you've kind of taken that a step further. So before we get into this next part of the interview here, because we're going to talk about this Great American Summit that you've got coming up, how can people connect and find American Snippets?
You can hop right onto the website, americansnippets.com. We have the podcast. It's on all the podcast platforms. And we're on Instagram under American Snippets as well.
All right. So go find them there, americansnippets.com. I've got that up in front of me. Now, let's shift gears here, because why you came to me through a mutual friend, you've got this thing going on up in Irving, Texas. And I'm down here in Fort Worth, so I'm going to promote the snot out of it for you, because I got a lot of audience down here in Texas. You're, no worries. I mean, I love patriotic things. So tell us a little bit about what's going on with this Great American Summit.
All right, awesome. And first of all, before I forget, you are, of course, invited to attend as our guest.
Thank you.
We really appreciate you and your support. But the Great American Summit is where we're bringing American Snippets and the community we built off that called the Great American Syndicate. We're bringing those to life and bringing them all together in Irving, Texas at the Marriott Las Colinas there on January 7th and 8th. It's a place where we can give purpose to patriotism. It's a place where we're going to come together and bring people together to help one another, strengthen ourselves, our families, and our communities, because that's how we're going to strengthen our country instead of relying on people in office to do it for us or relying on anybody to do it for us. We're going to connect people who love this country and want to be a part of leading it back to its core values and building their own American dream while giving back, because every dime we raise is going to organizations that support our military, our law enforcement, our first responders, and our at-risk youth, including some people who are right there from the Dallas area that you probably know of and have nonprofits there. So that is what we're doing in a nutshell. And we're gonna have a pretty good time in the process, I got to say.
Well, you know, and that's the fun thing about it. We're fun people. Patriots are fun.
We are fun people.
Outgoing. You know, we love freedom. We love our country. We love other people. And you kind of said it. We just want Americans to have freedom and liberty. That's it.
Yeah.
We're not asking, leave us alone. Leave us with our, you know, the rights that God gave us, and let's do it. So what are you really focusing on? Is there a focus to this Great American Summit? Is there something that you want people to do or an action that they can get involved with?
Yeah. Just by buying a ticket, people have already done something, because we're going to be able to apply that money to obviously fund the event, but donate back to these organizations that really do so much great work to support the people who serve and to support victims of human trafficking who really, really need the support and are being served by the nonprofits that are beneficiaries of this event as well. So that's the first step. People are going to know what it's like. They're going to be reminded what it's like if they forgot to provide value, to add value, because once you're connected with the fact that you have value to offer, it strengthens you, right? So that's going to carry people forward into the event, and we want them to connect with each other when we're there. We want everybody there to find at least one speaker, one performer, presenter who resonates with them, who speaks to something that they want to do, people can leave this event with the tools and resources and equipped with the knowledge, like how to take that thing they love and build it into something that they can provide for themselves and their family for, or make an impact, start that nonprofit, or get together with a nonprofit, make an impact in their community, help that person next door. We want this event to spread well beyond the 2 days and become a ripple effect throughout the country. We're already planning the next one. We have so many speakers coming forward for this one. We've started to build out our lineup for next year, and this is going to be an ongoing thing. So we want people to get involved and engage, and people who are afraid of leaving their job for not just a mandate that they don't believe in, but for any other reason that it's not fulfilling them, we want to not just say, hey, you deserve to go do better. You deserve to go, you know, be free. You don't have to do this. It's reckless to just tell people that and make them feel guilty for not taking the step. We want to show them how to do that. So we're not just telling people to jump. We're encouraging them to jump if they want to jump, and helping find a place to land if they do. We're not just shoving them off a ledge because we think they should jump.
Well, Barb Allen, where can they go get tickets?
GreatAmericanSummit.com.
GreatAmericanSummit.com. Go there, Irving, Texas, January 7th and 8th of 2022. Hard to believe we're almost into a new year. Barb Allen, thank you so much for dropping by the Matlock Show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And there you go, Barb Allen. I apologize. Every now and again, I get a weird connection. And that seemed pretty metallic-y and all that stuff. And I have to apologize. I have settings in my board, and for whatever reason, they got crazy, I guess. So here we are. But great interview. Wasn't too overly bad. I'm going to turn this back on. Hang tight. Boom. There we go. And you can hear the difference in the smoothness of my sexy, sexy radio voice. But go check out Barb, AmericanSnippets.com. You can go to Great American Summit. .com and get tickets. It's amazing. It's going to be a two-day event in Irving, Texas. So if you're down here within the confines of my voice, check that out. All the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds, go towards supporting military first responders and law enforcement and at-risk youth. Go check it out, greatamericansummit.com. She's amazing, by the way. I mean, good Lord, think about a life. Your husband's killed. You're raising four boys. You're put into a position that God knows you can handle, and she turned it into an amazing thing. So it really is. It's an honor to talk to people like that. And I will always, and I'll say this again, I will always be an advocate for freedom, liberty, and patriotism. So go check it out. GreatAmericanSummit.com, AmericanSnippets.com, good friends of the Matlock Show. Joe Biden, Joey Puddin' Pop. He's going to head to Minnesota. Now, if you're thinking like I'm thinking, like, well, maybe he's going to go up to Waukesha. Maybe he's going to go up and talk with some grieving parents. Maybe he's going to go up and console some family members that may have lost loved ones. Nah, he's heading to Minnesota for infrastructure. No plans to visit victims of Waukesha massacre. I'm going to tell you, you want a little behind the scene? You want a little Matlock behind the scene today? I'm hearing a ton of rumbling right now. And you can always tell what's kind of going down in Washington, D.C. by the rumor mill. And the rumor mill right now is around Pete Buttigieg. Oh, my gosh. I swear to you, they've got a boner over Buttigieg. And I've been hearing rumors coming out of D.C. Well, he could be young, and he's homosexual, and he fits all the bills. And hell, if you're gay, that's better than being black. Or trans, or anything else, I guess. I guess gay is the Trump card, maybe, pardon the pun. But there is a faction inside of the White House that wants Buttigieg to be your next president. I mean, this guy, oh my God, he was a terrible mayor of South Bend, Indiana. I mean, he was known as Pothole Pete, by the way. Half the city's police department left under him. He couldn't figure out how to do any infrastructure there. So what do? Joe Puddin' Pop makes him the Secretary of Transportation. And now he's the boy wonder. And by the way, he's out touting all of the infrastructure stuff. So he's out there in front of the cameras and everything else. So guess what old Puddin' Pop has to do? These people are not dumb, and it's always about their own hides. So President Puddin' Pop has not visited grieving families in Waukesha, but he will travel to Minnesota yesterday afternoon to promote infrastructure. The White House told reporters on Monday that Biden had no plans to visit Waukesha, Wisconsin, even after six people were killed in a Christmas parade attack and over 60 people injured. Quote, obviously any president going to visit a community requires a lot of assets. That never stops him. I mean, they want to go places, right? They want to lop their big penis out and show the damn world how magnificent it is, because they're a bunch of pompous, narcissistic, arrogant pricks. You can't sit here and tell me, oh my gosh, it would require a lot of assets. Bullshit. I mean, do you ever get tired of being fed a shit sandwich? I mean, that's what the hell's going on right now. Obviously, any president going to visit a community requires a lot of assets. If it benefited you, you would be out there with your assets in your hand, Jeffrey Toobin. Give me a damn break. These liberals are such fucking liars. I mean, I don't know how to put it. This is just unbelievable. If you think that we're going to believe this, But I want to read it to you. This stuff drives me crazy because the left hasn't met a camera it doesn't like. And if they can take a crisis and turn it to the good of their ideology, they will do it every single time. Let me reread this. It says, obviously, any president going to visit a community requires a lot of assets, requires taking their resources. And that's not something that I have a trip previewed at this plan. At this plan point in time, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki told reporters during the daily briefing. These people are absolutely unbelievable pricks. I mean, I don't know how else to say this. You know, you want to talk about a narcissistic, ridiculous people. I mean, if these people only do the things they believe will benefit them. Doesn't matter if six people died. Doesn't matter if the driver's black. It doesn't. They want it to go away. That's why he's not. I'll tell you, they want it to go away. They're not going to go out to Waukesha. They don't want to continue this news cycle. They don't want Puddin' Pop out there. They don't want to be anywhere around this because they know it looks bad for the Democrat Party. They just want to sweep this shit under the rug. Shh. Don't tell anybody. Let's make sure that we're not telling anybody. We don't want the world to know. The mainstream media is out there peddling as fast as they can. It was just a car. Wasn't a criminal. Wasn't a guy who tried to run his girlfriend over the week before or beat her up or had a criminal record as long as my leg. No. It was a car. The car just drove through the parade, killed a bunch of people. Just a car. Now go to Charlottesville. Do that story. White supremacist drives through crowd and he got 400 years in prison. Yeah, they're not the same. Jesse Kelly's so right. You know, we don't fight. I talked about this yesterday. The right doesn't fight like the left. The Republicans, conservatives, patriots, whatever you want to call us, we don't fight like the left. And it's time we should. And if you're out there voting, if there's Republicans running, I keep hearing, and I'm saying this to you, Buttigieg is on the radar about running as a Democrat. He's the new wonder boy. But we keep hearing about this red wave that could be coming in 2022, that it could be bigger than the Tea Party wave of 2010. But does it matter? I mean, does it at all matter if these Republicans don't do what their constituents want them to do? Literally, as patriots, I know you feel this way. I know I feel this way. I talk to a lot of people every single damn day. We just want to be left alone. We want corruption cleaned out of government. We want it smaller. We want budgets. Stop doing this omnibus, big craptastic sandwich bills. By the way, the government runs out of money in 3 days. Just 3 days. And we should. J.D. Vance. This is the way we should fight. I keep talking that the right should fight like the left. Well, J.D. Vance came out yesterday. He says, look, shut the government down. Shut the government down until the left cries uncle. The left's in power, kids. The left controls the White House. The left controls the House. It's a 50-50 in the Senate with the tiebreaker going to the left. The left controls government. Make it painful. Tell them, here's the deal. We'll open the government back up when you take vaccine mandates off the table. Use your leverage. It's not that hard. I mean, we got to get down and dirty, right? Trump did it. That's the one thing. Trump's superpower. He showed you how ridiculous the Democrat Party and the media were. How corrupt, how swampy, how in bed, how incestuous. We know about Ghislaine Maxwell. We're going to talk about this in a final story here for about the last 10 minutes once I get there. But we know that Comey's daughter is the prosecutor. The judge won't let anybody in the courtroom. We heard some names come out today that we're going to talk about. But the left plays to win. If the right were smart, which they're not, this is the problem. You've got McConnell and you've got McCarthy. They're all a bunch of pussies. I mean, they're a bunch of pussies. They don't stand up for anything. And they worry about what the media is going to say. You shouldn't worry about that because they're just going to badmouth you anyway. It does not matter what you do. The media is going to badmouth you. The media isn't on your side, right? And it never will be. So do the damn right thing. And J.D. Vance is right. I'm going to try to get J.D. Vance on this show. I'm going to reach out to his people. I love his ideas. I mean, he talked about endowments with Harvard and Princeton and Yale that are sitting on billions of dollars that are just slush funds for the left. Start taxing those. You know, the left wants to tax churches. Let's start taxing endowments. Why do you need that much money? I mean, it costs you like $30,000, $40,000 a year to go to school at these places, and now you need a $40, $50 billion endowment? Tax them. And then, I love his idea. I love, love, love this idea. Shut the government down until you make the left cry uncle. Make the Democrats give in. They run all the levers of power. And you know what's even better about all of this? If you shut the government down, you make them concentrate on that rather than the CRT, the SEL, all the infrastructure, Green New Deal bullshit that they're trying to get past and all the things you're doing to oil and gas. Make them work. Take them off of their objects. Take them off their spot and make it happen. Shut the government down. It'd be easy. Make him cry, uncle. All right. Last 8 minutes here of the show. There is a trial going on in New York. It's a federal trial. They're not putting it on TV like they did Kyle Rittenhouse. But Ghislaine Maxwell, which I'm amazed she's still alive, to be quite honest with you. But longtime pilot for Jeffrey Epstein. As we know, Ghislaine Maxwell, she was the bottom girl, as our good friend Yaku Boyan says. She was the bottom girl for all this. She was the she was the fluffer, the molder, the, I don't know why I can never remember. He says this all the time. She was the one that prepared them. She's the one that got all these girls ready to be, you know, sleeping with Prince Andrew and Bill Clinton. She was a groomer. There it is. See, it just takes me some time. She was the groomer. She was a bottom girl groomer. So longtime pilot for Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, told a jury Tuesday at Ghislaine Maxwell's sex trafficking trial that he never saw evidence of sexual activity on the Lolita Express. Yeah, the plane that he flew. For Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. Lawrence Paul Vizosky Jr., the trial's first witness, was responding to questions by a defense lawyer when he acknowledged that he never encountered sexual activity aboard two jets he piloted on roughly 1,000 trips between 91 and 2019. He said he stayed in the cockpit, ding, 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 for the majority of the flights, but would sometimes emerge to go to the bathroom or to get coffee. Although he was called as a witness by the government, Visosky's testimony seemed to aid the defense of Maxwell as he answered questions posed by Maxwell's attorney, Christian Everdell, about what he saw when he straightened up the aircraft after the flight. Do you think the pilot straightened up the aircraft after the flight? I mean, do we really believe that? Do you believe someone else didn't come in and take away the incriminating evidence? If you believe there wasn't sexual activity on that plane, you're crazy. Epstein had a black book. Ghislaine Maxwell was the groomer. She was the bottom girl. There was all kinds of sex going on everywhere you looked. He just didn't clean it up. He didn't clean up the plane. Come on. Visosky didn't hesitate when Everdell asked him if he ever saw sexual activity when he went for coffee or if he found any sex toys when he cleaned up. Never, the pilot answered to both questions. He said he never saw use condoms either. And when, well, did they use condoms? I mean, these are all old men, dude. I mean, they're old men. I guess they could knock a chick up, I guess. But, I mean, did they even use condoms? And when he was asked if he ever saw sex acts with underage females, he said, absolutely not. The pilot said Epstein never warned him to stay in the cockpit during flights and also encouraged him to use bathroom near the rear of the plane that required him to walk past the plane's couches. There's a bathroom in front of the plane, right? He said he never saw any children on his planes who were not accompanied by their parents. So you're going to Lolita Island on Lolita Express and the parents are taking their children? Come on. There wouldn't be children on this plane. There'd be underage girls, but not children. I mean, we're adults here, right? I mean, let's take a second here. We know this kind of shit happens. We know it's crazy. We know that there was an Epstein black book. And believe me, it's true. I know it. I've had multiple sources tell me there is a black book that Epstein had that had a lot of powerful names in it. Oh, by the way, names came up today in this deal, just so you know. So Prince Andrew's name came up. Bill Clinton's name, he acknowledged, the pilot did, that Clinton was a passenger on a few flights in 2000s, and he had a pilot, he had piloted planes with Britain's Prince Andrew. The late U.S. Senator John Glenn, kind of interesting, first American to orbit Earth, and former presidents Donald Trump and Bill Clinton, more than once. See, the left had a big old boner when Trump's name came out. We know Trump was on the plane. We know Trump was a playboy. And Trump doesn't deny being on the plane. That's the whole thing. Clinton does. I mean, that's the crazy thing, right? If you're a single guy, which Trump might have been a few times, if you're going to go do that stuff, then by all means do it. Was he sleeping with underage children? I have no idea. I can't prove that. And that's the thing in a court of law. You can't just make stuff up, right? It's called slander or libel. You can't just say someone slept with an underage girl. That's illegal. You have to have proof, right? We don't know. We don't know if Clinton did. We don't know if Epstein did. We don't know if John Glenn did. We don't know if Donald Trump did. But we do know this. They were going to that island to have sex. That's what Lolita Island was in the Lolita Express. We know. And we do know that Bill Clinton was getting his dick sucked in the White House by Monica Lewinsky. That is a fact, Jack. We know it. We know Bill Clinton is a slimy slime ball. Now, I don't know if Trump cheated on Melania or Marla Maples or his first wife, Ivana. I don't know. Probably did. I'm not saying he is the pillar of someone we should look up to. But that's never been the rap of President Trump. It's funny. A friend of mine sent it to me. He says, well, the names came out. And of course, they couldn't wait to get to Trump. Of course not. Of course, they couldn't wait to get to Donald Trump. The John Glenn thing surprises me. Prince Andrew does not. Clinton does not. I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all. But here we are. I mean, and this is, I'm going to tell you right now, we may never know what happened here. I'm actually shocked. I'll be quite honest with you. I'm actually shocked that Ghislaine Maxwell isn't dead, or Ghislaine, or however she says her name. I'm actually shocked that she's still walking around. I mean, I'm shocked. I just, at this point, it's unbelievable what is happening. It's unbelievable what's going on. And do you think we're going to get the full story? No. We are never going to get the full story. The left will cover this up. That's why Maureen Comey, James Comey's daughter, is the prosecutor on this case. The left is going to do everything that it can do to protect itself. This is what the left does. When I tell you they're narcissistic, that they're only about themselves, that's exactly it. These people were perverts. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Was Trump a pervert? Maybe. I don't know. But he was going to Lolita Island. What do you think he was doing? You think he was just going there for the sun? So here, and that's what you get from me. I didn't think Trump was a perfect man to begin with, okay? Did he have sex with underage girls? I don't know. Did Clinton? I don't know. Did John Glenn? I don't know. Did Epstein? I don't know. But they had a groomer and a bottom girl. If you talk to Yaku Boyans, they probably did. Can we prove it? I don't know. But here we are. Once again, how does this hurt Trump? I don't know. I don't have my crystal ball out. Do they want Trump's name out there? So because he wants to run in 2024, is this too soon and there'll be too much time? Quite simply, I just don't know, but that is happening. We'll keep an eye on that whole deal as it happens, but we're at an hour. We're at the end of the show. Please go follow me at Real Matt Locke, at Real Matt Locke on all my social medias, The Matt Locke Show on Gab TV and over on Telegram. Make sure you go check out thematlockshow.com. Use MattLock10, get 10% off on me. Great Christmas presents over at the store. Guys, appreciate it. Gals, have a great night, great day. I'll see y'all tomorrow. The Matt Locke Show. It's out.